Welcome to the 22nd episode of the Transportation Management Podcast. Today's topic is execution in transportation management. And my name is Thomas Quintus. I'm Scrum Master and Developer in the team Freight Order Management.
Yeah, my name is Bernd Dittrich. I'm always, as always, asking the questions today. And we have our special guest here, which is...
My name is Bernhard Hauser. I'm also a developer in the same team as Thomas and Bernd. And yeah, I'm working specifically in the area of execution and warehouse integration.
Very good. Sounds like you're the right person to talk about execution, right? So maybe from a 10,000 foot perspective, what is execution in a sense we talk about today for transportation management?
So execution is really one of the basic steps in a transportation process. So we have, from the very high perspective, we have some planning done before, and then comes the execution part, and then finally we might have some settlement. So it's really after the planning is really done that you say at some point in time, okay, my planning is finished, and you pass it over to the execution, and then the physical stuff is happening,
the real thing. Okay. And when we talk about that, so we are in TM today, right? I mean, execution, that's a wider focus, right? As you said, we have the transportation, but you also have warehousing, onboard devices, etc. So what is the topic of today? Is it and how does it fit into the whole picture of the supply chain execution platform?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so that's really something which shall be kept in focus here, is that it's not only TM, which is part of the execution, yeah, but we also have other components which are really related to execution. We have the SAP solution for event tracing and tracking. This is the event management. And we have also the EWM, the extended warehouse management, which is the SAP solution for warehousing, the new solution. And actually these components are also integrated with each other. So cool. Exchanging execution related data.
Okay, so we are part of that supply chain execution platform then. But I think today we will focus a bit, but just because of time, on the TM part of that execution. So how is that transportation execution piece and the modeling of it in TM done, right? So
yes.
I think the other two topics like EWM integration and EM integration, that will be another podcast episode then. To keep it a bit in our one-hour range that we typically try to target. Okay, so we're talking about execution in the TM context. So how does that physical world is then reflected in TM, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. So maybe, as we talked before, maybe a good way of addressing that topic is just going through the work to the life cycle of a truck going in through the execution chain, right? And our example,
let's take LSP maybe that has got the request.
What is an LSP? Sorry,
LSP is a logistics service provider.
Ah, thank you.
Who has the task or who has the business expertise to do transportation services for a shipper, for instance. Let's take an example of a shipper who wants to bring goods, who has got orders from several consignees. Let's say in our example, two consignees. And so the LSP has also its own fleet, maybe, and brings his truck to the shipper, picks up the goods, and shall bring them to the two consignees.
Okay,
that would be our example.
Sounds like a good example. Yeah. So maybe it's a simple one, simple enough that we can still cover it in that time frame. Of course, there will be. Yeah, we can talk about maybe more complicated cases.
Yeah.
And later. Okay, so where do we start? I think a good starting point would be an optimization result, for example. So I have two, in your example, we have like two orders, right? Sounds like I have two orders, one to constantly one and another one to constantly two. And our famous optimizer, shameless plug to our episode maybe 15 or something about optimization, combined then smartly into one thread order. So it's a single pick, multi-drop thread order, maybe if it's a direct delivery. Okay, so the starting point would be a thread order, two thread units assigned, and yeah, smartly planned. What is so next? So I think I finished my planning. What would I do to start the execution here?
Yeah, so the first step would then actually be, I think, that you would send the truck to the shipper so that the process can start. For this, we have also in the freight order, which is in this case is the execution document, yeah, where the execution is tracked. So it's a document where we can do actions, like, we want to start the execution. So we have a status on header level of the freight order, which says, has the execution already started or not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So after the planning, this execution status on root level would say execution has not yet started. So, when you would start with a process, normally you would say, okay, it's ready for transportation execution. That would mean that the execution can now take place.
Okay, I think in your example now, you said I send a truck to the customer, so like a pickup kind of order, right? That's mm-hmm. what I said. So it's not in my warehouse yet. Since we are an LSP, we have to pick it up.
Yeah.
So I would send it there, and maybe if the truck departs, it would go into execution in that first step, right?
Yes. So the header, this execution status on header level basically is the overall execution status where you can see, yeah, I have not started execution. The execution is in process. That would be in execution. Mm-hmm. And finally, if the execution has finished, that would say it's executed. So we have only on this rough level, yeah, we only can know is the execution started or not.
Okay.
But we do not, for instance, know whether is the execution already proceeded to some stage or not. We do not see an on header level.
Okay. That's on header level. And for that, yeah. I think that pickup thread order we talk about in the first maybe quick step is anyway a bit special, as I kind of send my truck there, see what he really picks up and brings to my warehouse, right? If we were an LSP, that would make sense then, right? So that he picks it up and brings back. Maybe then truck departed, sent there, and comes into my warehouse in the first place to see what's on a truck then, right? What has a customer sent me?
Mm-hmm.
That is where my real-world contact, typically, I think, in that LSP scenario, starts, right? So I would get some information when this pickup truck arrives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what is really important here to keep in mind is that the whole process basically can be modeled with the help of events. Yeah, so what is really happening is that you have different locations where different kind of business events are happening. So in our case, where the cargo is picked up from the shipper, the first business event, what would be relevant for us as the LSP would, I think, be that somehow the cargo has been loaded on the truck and the truck has departed from the shipper location.
Okay.
That would be, I would say, the first business event, which can be an event which is either created at the shipper site and it somehow sent to us. Yeah? We can, for instance, also use event management for this. Or it's directly sent to EM, or someone in EM is creating this event.
Okay, yeah. So maybe I have an onboard device, have EM integration or something, or somebody, driver is calling me, and then I go into the thread order or the system or the RFC call or something goes into the freight order and triggers that event departed at customer, right?
Yeah.
Or loaded at customer. What did you say? Sorry. But for our first event, sorry, I don't want to.
The first one should be the loaded event.
Okay.
Yeah. If we want to model it, I mean, we can. We do not say that we have to always have each business event. So let's say you can have a process where you say the loading is not relevant for me. I'm fine if I get the departed event. Then it would be also fine if we just get the departed event. And we would somehow, as a consequence, you would say, okay, if we got the departed event, obviously the loading has already been done as well.
Okay.
So we can kind of skip events. If they are not relevant for us.
Okay, technically asking, so this event now comes in. Mm-hmm. Where would I find it technically? If I'm, as some of our listeners, a technical guy, where would I see that event information in the first place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have in the freight order and any other kind of execution document, we have a tab for execution data where we see all the actual events, and if you maybe are even a fan of event management, you would even see the expected events. I don't want to say too much of this, but maybe just as a rough idea, expected events is a kind of process modeling what you can do in event management. And these kind of expected events, so events that shall happen in the future, you can also see in this TM.
And not only if you're a fan of event management, even if you're not a fan and just a user, right?
So maybe even then, yeah.
Exactly. And technically, I think for those, even the fans of Bob, maybe, they could find that event and also in this Tor execution table, right? There's a separate table or BO node where all the actual, where all the reality, so to say, is stored in the BO, right? So if that events come in or I press that button in that UI, then an event in the execution node is created in the first place, right? But that's, of course, only kind of a, let's say, technical storage for that information. I think more importantly, something more happens on header level. As you already mentioned, that maybe we start with that. So that document goes into execution then, right? So then on header level, from not started, the execution level would go into started in execution.
Execution. So what we have some logic where we say, so you see what we have been talking now about was really events. And now coming back to that topic of stages, obviously it seems there is a relationship of the two. So if an event happens, also, we want to see this progress of the process. We also want to see it in kind of in terms of stages handling. So you were talking of the header stages, but we have also on other levels, we also have stages information. So, for instance, if you want to keep really track of what the loading process, for instance, would look like, you could even send or see events on item level. Yeah, you could, for instance, say, okay, I have some cargo, some pallet being loaded into the truck. You could also get an event for that. Yeah, and once we get those events, we transfer this map this to some kind of status value, and then as a kind of automatism at that place, we say, okay, if the loading has started, then we all obviously also have to change the execution status on header level.
Okay.
So that's kind of derived status value on header level.
On header level. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in our example where the truck, the first information that we ever got for that pickup truck is that it departed at the customer location. We would get that information that would go into that execution node, would have some information about, of course, the route node it belongs to, would have some information about the stop you mentioned. So in that case, it would be the first pickup stop maybe. And maybe we would have, if it would be loading, I also would have some reference in that node into the item. But in our example, we said the truck has been departed, so we would have a reference to the outbound stop at the customer side, right?
Yes. And technically, I mean, if we are talking very much technically, then
yes,
you would even have a reference also to the main item, because normally the events are always created with a reference to some item. Yeah, we could technically leave it empty and could say, okay, it's on root level, because the execution node is below the header, so it could be also without item reference, but normally then we are using the main item.
Which is, in that case, anyway, representing the truck, and as a truck departed at the location, it's kind of logical, I think, to have that two references.
Yes.
Okay, then we already talked about the header execution status, which changes. Sounds like if we depart from a stop, is there also something on stop level that changes then? Or
exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we want to have visibility on different levels. So on header level, it's a normally more kind of very rough idea, because you only see execution has started it in process. So that would not be enough to have really an overview if you are at the, at we sometimes call it the current stop of execution. Yeah. So the picture we have is when you have a transportation chain for multiple stages, normally there is some stop where the process is now currently active.
Yep.
So would mean in our example, first when the shipper is loading the truck, that would be the first stop of execution. The current stop would be the shipper location.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would, for instance, go to the LSP warehouse where we first get the cargo and might unload. Then the current stop would move to the second stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that would mean that's the stop where we want to look at, because that's our focus now.
That's where the action happens, right?
Where the next app is going to happen.
Yep.
Yes, right. And that we can see as a stop status. So we have a status type called handling execution. And that's on stop level. It's on cargo item level as well, but it's also on stop level. So you can see it in our overview, or you can see it in the stages tab as well.
On which stop I'm currently, and what is that status of that
stop? Yes, and we in addition even have that kind of current stop information. We also have it on header level, because for the customer, it might be even nice to see it also on header level. Mm. So we have this root execution status, and also a, what is called a logistical status, or logistical execution status, I think it is called, and it shows also the current state at the current stop.
At the current stop, yeah. Maybe that might also lift the miracle about the use the cargo management for all stops, or cargo management for current stop. That you may see if you go into our cargo management, you can choose if you just want to see the items to be loaded dash unloaded at the current location. So I want to focus on my warehouse, for example, I'm where that next activity starts, or if we want to have a holistic picture and also want to see what is loaded at other warehouses. So that's that current stop concept, right? And to be very complete, I think that that stop has a field for that current stop value, and one value is the one where the action will happen next. So that's a next stop where something is expected, and the previous stop will have that a value for, okay, that's the stop where the last actually reported event was. Yeah? So if I depart from A and go to my warehouse, the inbound stop, the receiving side would have that current stop indicator, next relevant stop, and the customer side would have its value that it's the stop where the last actual event was reported.
So that gives us also the possibility, for instance, to have queries running on the database and saying, I want to have that stop which is relevant now. Yeah, and we could immediately select for that kind of stop. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's the advantage also of this concept.
Exactly. So it's always clear, at least for linear topologies. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is our focus for today.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
And that is the stop level, right? So we said we'd be departed, and that makes that stop to departed. For the items, you said I can report the loading or not. If I would report the loading event, then there would also be a status change on the item level?
Item level, yes, yes, yes. So we have, actually, we have two status types. We were discussing this, whether we want to have two kinds of loading information. And the one on the one hand part, it is really the cargo item as such, yeah, where we say the cargo item shall be loaded into something, which is typically a capacity, like container, movable container, or it could be a kind of loading space on a normal truck. And so the cargo item itself, it has the handling execution status, which says I'm loaded into some capacity. And we also have another status type, which says, which is defined for capacity items, such as a container item. And this says all the cargo which shall be loaded into that capacity, is it already loaded or not? So it's some kind of aggregated status, because all the cargo items which must be loaded into that capacity, only if everything is loaded, then also this status will switch to completely loaded. Okay. In German we say beladen and geladen, but this is not possible to translate in English, I'm afraid.
So grab your dictionary. So yeah, that's the two things, right? I put some cargo into something, or everything has been put into me, so to say.
Exactly.
And what was the status name for that? Sorry?
That's a cargo execution
status. That's a cargo execution status. And that is the same status on cargo level and on equipment level, is that right? But with different values. But it's the same status field. The cargo execution status? Or is it two different fields if I check in the database or on the UI?
You mean for
the beladen and geladen thing? So that loaded.
It's two different fields. So it's two different status types, and it is two different fields, because we say it could even be that a capacity again might be loaded later onto some other capacity. Yeah. So it could be a kind of multi-level loading process even. And that would be, for instance, if you have a container, a 40 feet container, and this is first put on a truck and then it's loaded, but later on the whole container might be put onto a vessel, so the capacity again might be loaded. So that if you only have one status type, that couldn't be modeled anymore.
The cargo execution status, that's the status of the cargo loaded into something, right? If you say it's two fields, must be two column headers, right?
Yes.
In the execution. And I just want to get that, you know, two names. So what would I, if I want to check that in the system?
Yeah, the handling execution means I am loaded into some capacity.
Okay.
And as only defined for capacity items, the cargo items are loaded into me. That's the cargo execution status.
Okay. Handling execution status is something that happens to the cargo. And cargo execution status, that's the capacity I'm loaded kind of thing, which then becomes, for example, relevant for EWM warehouse integration, etc. Right? So to know if something was already completely loaded or not, which is not the topic of today.
So let's do not too much of that. But in principle, yes. I mean, the kind of information could come obviously from some event handling, from event manager, for instance, could be sent, but it could also come from a warehouse, because the warehouse knows which cargo items are loaded. So obviously that's information which could be created in the warehouse.
Okay, good. So I think the truck departed now, and we have quite some statuses already derived from that. So now that truck arrives in my warehouse and I check what did I receive? Is it as expected or not?
Maybe before we come to the topic, I have two more simple questions, probably. You mentioned the dependency between the events and the status values. Actually, this sounds like a one-way dependency. Is this right? Or do you also update events from status changes?
Yeah, that's very, very interesting question, because...
You said it's a simple question.
I thought it's a simple question.
It's because maybe it sounded really like normally that first you create the event and then you set the status, but it can also be the other way around. So you can also in TM, we have on item level, on route level, we are on different levels, on stop level, we have the possibility to set the status types, to set a status value for these types, and then also the event is created on the other end. That event is normally on first posted in the TM object, and it could then also be later on
distributed
to other objects. But that's the question of event propagation, which is more for a different info session.
Right? Event propagation into event management, right? Yeah. There's also event propagation between the documents. Maybe we come to that.
We could maybe come to that later.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. And the second question is because I heard this now from questions from many customers in tickets also. Is that you can see actually the status as part of the status values of the documents or in the event, but I think you can also see it for example, which functions are still available in a document. I mean, a change in a status has a consequence that certain features are not executable anymore. For example, a typical question in the ticket is, customers, I want to send a freight order as a shipment to ERP, but it's not possible. And in many cases, the solution is it's not in the right status. Do we have a kind of overview? This probably a long list. but is there a simple overview what is possible in which status, or does this go into too much detail?
I think we have not really a kind of list for where we say in which status is what is not possible. Of course, we know after execution has started, some things should not maybe be possible, but that might also be customer specific. Yeah. So for instance, there is one flag in customizing where we, for instance, say, if execution has already started, some operations shall not be possible anymore. For instance, if you are doing kind of cargo management, where you say, as a planner, as a transportation planner, I'm putting some cargo items, I'm assigning them to some containers. Yeah. And once you say, for instance, on header level, we have a specific status value, which we haven't talked about yet, where we say ready for loading, for instance. Yeah. That's a status value, which says, okay, I've done with the planning. And now I want to go to execution. So, for instance, the container can now be loaded. Once you set the status on the container level, for instance, and you have defined that flag in the customizing, then that would mean that the contents of the container should keep stable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we are doing, when this flag is set, we are doing, for instance, checks against this.
Yeah. And I think our reaction is so intuitive that we don't have to document them, but maybe it sounds a good thing that we should also put that into documentation. So, but it's kind of what we try to do is do it kind of naturally. So after I departed, I should not remove something which I reported as being on that truck, for example. If I do that, we are in an exception process, and maybe we come to that exception handling anyway. Bit later, what happens if I did a mistake? And well, maybe that's generally also another question. So I'm departed, and that also, or did we talk about it already? I departed, and that also sets the items automatically to be loaded, right? So coming back to our example, we departed from the customer side.
Okay.
And would that also have some impact on the item status then or not?
So that's maybe also that we, it might maybe implicitly somehow, but maybe we could say it a little bit more explicitly. So as I said, we have this current stop of execution, and once we say it has departed from the customer or from the shipper, site, and we would, the next natural step would be to receive the cargo in our warehouse. Mm-hmm. Then this is an inbound stop.
Yeah.
Means the next, what we would expect is that all these cargo items shall be unloaded mm-hmm. at our LSP warehouse. So in that way, the handling execution status, which we know, shall indicate whether that something is to be loaded or unloaded. That should now switch to not unloaded because the process has not yet been done. Yeah, it's, we know it's the last event which happened was a departed. So the next one would be that the unloading has to take place.
Okay, but implicitly, that also means that for the outbound stop before, everything, the handling execution status of the items there, loaded there, would be set to loaded, right? On the implicit. Is that right?
It is not, it cannot be seen anymore because the handling execution status actually is a status which is only valid for the current stop. So in case the current stop is moving to the next stop, you cannot see the loading status on that item level anymore.
Okay, because the handling execution status is kind of wandering or changing throughout the transportation chain, I see. But if I mistakenly said I'm departed, is that a one-way street or can I go back to my previous stop?
Of course you can.
Of course.
There's no situation what we where you are really blocked, yeah, completely. So basically we say you can take back that step, yeah. So you could, for instance, go to the last stop, to the shipper stop, and could say it's not departed. I was wrong, yeah. You can go back to that stop, could say not departed, and so the status will be reversed, and the current stop of execution will switch back to the first stop. Then
it's like traveling back in time. Huh?
Yes.
Wow. Cool. Okay, so I can, if I mistakenly said I loaded something, I departed, so I can always go step by step.
Yeah,
backwards,
can forwards, backwards. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds good. Good. Okay. Next thing is, I arrive at the warehouse, so I have the reception process, so to say. So I see what's on the truck, and maybe that's a good point in time to talk about discrepancies, something different on the truck, or because that I think is part of execution, real world awareness. Should we cover that now?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing to know because it is, of course, also something which could be part of the topic of warehouse execution, because we say we are now in the LSP warehouse side. So the information could come from an external warehouse system, yeah, because the loading or unloading in this case would take place there. But of course, you can also do it directly doing our execution documents. So we have for all the cargo items, we have the planned quantity. And now you can go on cargo item level and can also enter the actual quantities.
Okay.
There. So let's say someone would phone you from the warehouse and would tell you, okay, I unloaded everything and as expected, it was 10 pallets, yeah, and you can then enter as actual quantity on that item. Okay, I got 10 pallets as actual quantity. In that case, there would be no discrepancy. Yeah, so you planned 10 pallets and they actually arrived
and then
in
you
the
could
LSP
say,
warehouse.
And then we would say, I received as planned, which is intuitively also an action that you then have for that item, right? So if I if I have the same quantity, I just was press a button. And that would then kind of copy over the planned to actual quantities.
Yes. Okay. So in that kind, we have shortcut for that. So you do not have to enter it manually, but you can by statutes, you can say, okay, I received it. And as you say, the actual quantities are then created automatically by the system.
Okay. Now come to the cases every developer hates, discrepancies, updates. So what happens then? So I have, instead of the 10 pallets, I only have 9. What do we do besides hating it?
Yeah, so that was quite a big topic in, I think, 8.1, TM 8.1 development, where we had this discrepancy handling introduced. So we thought about what kind of discrepancies we can have, yeah, and The first is that we thought there can be two different kinds of discrepancies, which can be either quantity discrepancies or discrepancies related to quantity differences and other discrepancies not related to quantities. So we call it quantity discrepancies or general discrepancies.
Okay.
This is customizing. Yeah. So you define discrepancy types,
somehow type for it.
Yeah. So they shall describe the semantics of what kind of discrepancy is. So what's the reason for the discrepancy? Yeah. For instance, you could have a pallet which was damaged in the process, or you could have a pallet which was actually not sent by the shipper. So these would be two different cases.
Mm.
When the LSP enters the actual quantity, the system can immediately find out, okay, you entered 9 pallets. Actually, planned was 10 pallets. So there's a quantity difference of 1 pallet. So the system will calculate that difference, write it into that field with what we have, and will create automatically a proposal. So we have kind of default discrepancy and would, for instance, say, okay, maybe it's a missing pallet.
Default discrepancy type, right? So we don't have like type, 10% always missing, but what is my typical main discrepancy reasons, as you said?
Yeah, the time. Yeah.
Okay. And then maybe if talking about 10 and 9 pallets, that's of course a significant difference, but if it would be something like expected 900 kilograms, but now it's 899.7. As a good program, you would see it as a discrepancy, but as a human being, you may say not really. Is there also a way to have like tolerances or?
Yeah, we have later, we have also introduced tolerances for this. So part of this definition for quantity discrepancies is that you can define some tolerance, like for instance 10% more or less, and in that case, so if it is within the range, the allowed range, that would mean okay, I think this is I do not have to keep this as a quantity discrepancy.
Okay. That's just updating, but no discrepancy.
At least it is not setting an execution block. Yeah, so if this is also related to the concept of execution blocks. So if you have a discrepancy, you can order the system to set an execution block so that someone first has to look at the difference and decide what's the next step in execution.
Okay. So now let's say we have that 9 instead of 10 pallets. I think I have to talk to my customer then if let's say it's his fault. It's always his fault. Huh? So, What is the next step in the process then? So how would somebody from order management know that? Is there something in the forwarding orders that I would see that I have a discrepancy? Or should I answer?
Maybe you can.
Maybe
you
I can answer.
You can think what you would expect.
What do you think? Yeah. I would expect that we have in the forwarding order then a discrepancy status basically. And that we, from the forwarding order, we can then resolve the discrepancy. Basically say, okay, that quantity is okay or not. And then adopt the quantity in the forwarding order to the reported actual quantity, or kind of accept that discrepancy anyhow, which then would remove the execution block that you mentioned before. However, whatever you do, the actual quantity that we report in the freight order will always, always, always update the freight unit quantities, because if that freight unit has multiple stages and it's losing like 10% every stage, it's less and less and less that you have to transport. I think that forwarding order aspect becomes relevant in the first place, right? So if I pick it up from the customer, but if I lose more stuff over time, I still should talk to my customer, but then from then on, it's my fault. But we always update the freight unit, but that quantity update then only affects the next stages. So if I, on the first stage, the freight unit or the item has 10 pallets, and then it's 9, on the next stage, 8, etc., goes down, then the freight order which had that item in the first stage, still has 10, because at that point in time, it was 10 pallets. Later, if I arrive and then I have the next departure, it's only 9 pallets on the freight unit now after receiving it. Then the next freight order will already have like a planned quantity of 9 and so on. Typically, it only goes down. Okay.
Good go.
Yeah. Somebody adds some pallets underway or yeah, that's a different thing. And catch rate and that kind of thing. But that's a complete story. Anyways, if you have like salt or something that it's naturally changing its weight over time, but then it's a different story. Anyhow.
Okay. Maybe what's also interesting in that relation is that the discrepancies are actually also events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So always if you put in some actual quantity already, so could be a discrepancy or not, we would also store it as execution data. So you cannot see it on the execution tab because we show it in a different place. Yeah. So it's actually information what we show as detail to the item, but it's technically stored in the execution node. And so that's also why it is easily, it can be, for instance, transferred from freight order to freight unit.
Yeah, maybe to explain it a bit technical also, I think that execution node, the TOR exec, what it's called, that's really where everything is stored. But on the UI, we show the node exec underscore TR, like transient, which is calculated at runtime. And as you already mentioned earlier, it includes additional expected events from event management. So it's really calling event management and pulling that in, so events which I don't really have in TM yet.
Yeah.
And it's hiding some of the events which we like the discrepancy we show as a detail for the item and we don't want to double show them. And that's why physically you have it on a database. Yeah, and it's really the rule is if it's execution, it's in the TOR exec node, nowhere else.
Huh? Yeah.
On the UI, it's kind of filtered and aggregated and enriched.
So we have talked a lot of these quantity discrepancies. Mm-hmm. So that's something which you normally see in the quantities tab of which is also item detail. But we also have, as I said, this discrepancies tab. Or did I say it? I'm not sure. So we have this discrepancies tab. And there you will also see not just the quantity discrepancies, but also the general discrepancies. So you could say additional things like somehow the cargo was not in a good condition or something like that. Yeah.
Can add pictures of the cargo or your family or something. Yes. So we have attachments also for that event and text, right? I think text also.
You can at least short text.
If you need some more explanation for that discrepancy, right? Okay. So maybe that's enough for today for the discrepancy part of it, right? I think we said, sounds good. So now we received everything. We resolved all discrepancies. I think the next step is that we reload the cargo, and this time in our warehouse, to another truck. So I again do some clever planning with the optimizer or with my clever planner manually or however. So I have again a freight order, which now goes from my warehouse to two consignees. Mm-hmm. Again, let's make it a multi-drop again or multi-pick. It doesn't matter for the moment, maybe.
I think we said multi-drop. So we have two consignees.
Yeah. Okay.
And,
okay. So now I received everything and next hour I want to finish my planning. I want to send my truck out. I'm fine now with my outbound truck. What would I do?
Yeah. So we have, current situation should be the goods receipt process has been finished.
Mm-hmm.
That you can see when you're looking at the stop stages, which should now say unloaded, completely unloaded. So the next relevant stop for execution is the outbound stop, as you say. So we are now in the outbound process of the warehouse. So the planning is done, mm-hmm. I think, in your example. So the next step would now be that you set, for instance, on header level, you can say cargo ready for loading. Yeah, that would mean this is a kind of signal to the warehouse. Okay, freight order is now in a shape which can go into execution. Everything is done, and so the warehouse can start the loading process.
Okay, then we would interact with warehouse. Maybe one thing I think I forgot to ask before, just to finish the receiving process. Maybe can we scroll back? No. I think after we resolved all the discrepancies, we also have an on-hand status for that item, right? That kind of reflects that we now really are in charge of that item. So we really received it. Correct? Is that correct?
Yes,
and where? Which status is it? Is it one of the ones we already talked about? Or?
Yeah, that's a new status actually. Mm-hmm. So we have another status which is more a kind of long living status, because mm-hmm. before we talked of these handling execution and mm-hmm. cargo execution status, which is on item level, but they are only relevant for the current stop of execution. And now the customer also might want to have an overview of for each item what is the status on the long run. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for instance, have I received it already in my warehouse, in the LSP warehouse in this case? So that would mean that he can set this cargo receipt status.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another status also on item level, and you can set this to on hand, which means basically you have put it into your own warehouse.
Okay. And then later, most likely something like delivered or so.
Yeah.
The
final step in the life cycle of a cargo item would mean I'm just happy to go to where I want. I'm targeted to go. So that's the consignee, and that would then be delivered.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the final status.
Okay.
So for the cargo item.
And what was the name of that status again? Sorry.
That was the cargo receipt.
Cargo receipt status. Okay, that's more
stable.
Okay. Sorry, now scrolling back to our outbound process, but I think maybe that was important to finish the inbound process. Now we send our freight order with information about the pallets, whatever cargo to be loaded to the warehouse. Now I would receive that feedback back either, we can talk about that later or a different podcast, electronically with loading appointment or information message, or let's say they give me a call or send me with
kind of loading list,
maybe. Loading list with checkboxes on it.
Yep.
And what would be next? And let's do it manually. And I think automatically it would be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So what would happen next? The warehouse tells me, yes, I loaded something,
mm-hmm.
maybe not all of it. So what would happen then?
Exactly. So if, let's say, first case would be all the items were successfully loaded, then I could just go to the stop level and I could say loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean automatically all the items which are relevant for loading for this stop would then switch to loaded. Yeah, so that in one shot I could mm-hmm. finish this status for all the items.
Hmm?
If I have a discrepancy, let's say some item was not loaded, probably I have to take them out. Yeah, maybe I even have to delete them from the truck because I say they could not be loaded.
Hmm?
Would mean I have kind of discrepancy I have to resolve. Yeah, and if there is no, as you said, there could be a kind of notification from the warehouse, that would be we call it a loading appointment notification, then that could be done by the system automatically. But if I just get phone call or I get just a loading list, I have to go to the system and, for instance, delete that item from the freight order.
And so, what would happen then if I delete it from the freight order? Because I still have my freight unit where I had that item. Would it split the freight unit?
Yes, so that's a standard reaction. If I'm deleting an item in the freight unit, then it depends. Is this the only item which is in the freight unit, or has the freight unit several items? If there is, let's say there's only one item, that would mean the whole freight unit will not travel.
Mm-hmm.
With this freight order, then the freight unit could just be unassigned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if there are more than one items and several items are going with the freight order, some are not,
mm-hmm.
that would be a situation in which a freight unit split.
Okay, and if I have if it's one item but only partial quantities there, I would first split that item into two items in the freight order in a manual case, and then put that one out of 10 pallets away, and that would then split the freight again, right?
The necessary steps, I think, yeah.
Exactly, in manually process. And we talk about that today. Good. So that would, after that, I would know the situation on my truck. I would remove some freight unit, or from maybe I remove complete freight units, maybe I remove items of freight units, maybe I remove parts of items of a freight unit, or maybe I add something. If the warehouse tells me, yeah, I also added another freight unit or pallet, typically they would talk about pallets, on that truck, you would have to adapt it as well.
Yeah.
If you talk about your manual process, then yeah, you would put it on a truck and also set it to load it then most likely, right?
Right.
Okay, yeah. So everything is loaded. What is my status situation now on that freight order?
Should be then that everything is successfully loaded then, I would suppose.
That's the handling execution status.
It's the handling execution status on item level as well. So you will all see green lights. So you can be very happy.
Happy.
And also on stop level, you will get a yellow light probably only because the truck has not left the warehouse yard. So
that's a yellow light.
Unfortunately, you are not done yet.
Okay, so still something.
Still something to do.
It's like standing in the yellow light on the traffic light and then just ready to be starting. Ah, it's going green next. Okay, understand. That's why it's yellow. Yes. This next step is coming. Okay. So now I set that truck to the departed, so to say. Mm-hmm. And now maybe with also one aspect is now if I now get an update. I mean, one, the process we talked about so far was always a forwarding order process. I received the product, etc. Maybe one important thing is also the shipper world, right? And if now where I'm not in control of the changes coming over from ERP, and let's say at least theoretically I could still get an update to the OTR or DTR, let's say the DTR in that case. So the quantity in the TRQ changes, that would then also potentially, if I wouldn't be in execution, it would also update the follow-up documents. But I think it's important to know once the items are in execution in the document, we will not, and kind of confirmed the quantity, confirmed that they're loaded in that quantity, we will not update the item in the freight documents based on any predecessor input, right? I think that's important to know.
Yeah, so we have this logic, which normally always copies through the items through the whole document chain. So the document chain in could be either the forwarding order. So anyway, it's the TRQ document, which is somehow the first document in the chain in TM. And then linked to this is the freight unit document and the execution document. So for instance, freight order, normally we copy through all the items and all the changes of the items. So for instance, quantity changes. And in our case, we set the cargo receipt status. So now the status comes again into play. So the status will say it's on hand, means I have already received it. So I would expect there shouldn't be relevant changes anymore for that items coming from ERP, for instance. And in that case, we say we are not propagating through the changes, as you said.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's important to understand. Once the status goes green, then any execution status, that means no updates from predecessor. We can later come to the process of like failed deliveries and what we do and what we plan to do with that. But in the first place, if the truck leaves or has an execution information, we would not update from predecessor.
Yep.
Okay, so truck leaves, yellow light. So next thing is green light then, I guess. So
you could set it manually to departed or you could get it by the event. Set then the light and then the truck is again on the way and on the way to the consignees.
Okay.
So that would be the final location.
Yeah, maybe one process that we skipped a bit, but also not one of the strongest processes in TM currently is the check-in, check-out process. I think that there's currently not a transaction where you really would check-in, check-out the truck explicitly. We have the field so you can capture the license plate of the truck. You have that arrival event. You can capture the driver as a business partner at least. So you can capture the information, but so far we don't have, let's say, pre-configured check-in, check-out process. Maybe that question may come in here. If I leave the warehouse, typically I would check out. So it's kind of setting the different statuses, like capturing driver names, etc. In the document. Yeah. Sorry. We're working on that. Okay. So now we checked out and we come to the first customer. So what happens when I unload? Yeah. Question. Mark.
Yeah. So the process would be basically is modeled the same way as for the LSP warehouse. Mm-hmm. So means we have again an unloading process. So first step would again, I start with a truck. First has to arrive at the customer location. So means I can set it to arrived at the customer location. And then the unloading would take place. Of course, now we have to take into consideration, we have maybe several freight units assigned to the freight order, and only some of the cargo items are relevant for the consignee one. And we have another consignee in the chain, and that would be the consignee two. Also, obviously, some of the freight units are planned for the other customer. So for the handling execution, that means that only technically, the cargo items which are linking to that consignee stop are then relevant for unloading.
Okay.
So that's also a role of this handling execution set, is that you can see what of the cargo items are now logistically relevant and which are not relevant. Multi-drop scenario, not all the items are relevant for each stop.
Hopefully, otherwise you have a problem with the next customer then.
Oh.
Okay. Good. Anything we should add about like proof of delivery or that kind of?
Good. The
proof. I think that is another thing that arrives at the customer and.
Proof of delivery is currently not a modeled status. It is an event. What you can receive, it's sometimes I think can be configured to be the last event in the chain of events because. Probably I would assume that the proof of delivery would be coming after you have dropped the goods, because just when you drop the pallets, you don't know whether all the cargo is actually complete. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The customer might want to count it and might see, oh, there's something is still missing. Yeah. So the proof of delivery could be the final event then, if you receive it.
That would be a final event, you mentioned. That is something I configure for the freight unit most likely then, or in the freight unit type maybe, or?
Exactly, yeah. That would be something where you could say we have for each type, yeah, for freight order type, for freight unit type, we have some part of the customizing which is related to execution.
Hmm?
So you could, for instance, say, do I want to track execution, yes or no. Yeah. Mm. So normally, if you want to use all these status type events, you have to set it to relevant for execution tracking. And you can also configure what is the last expected event in the chain. Means once this event has been posted for this object, yeah, you can define it for the freight unit or for the freight order or for any kind of execution document. Then that would mean that the status switches to executed. So the process is finished in terms of execution.
Execution only. Invoicing may come later, but okay, that's interesting. Good. So and that event, as you mentioned, we posted for the freight order, right? But we also have some impact on the freight unit here. Maybe we can add some words on that propagation of events between the different documents.
Yeah. So propagation of events is of course can be done across this chain, which we already talked about. So the freight unit is linked to the freight order, means if there is some event which is relevant for the freight unit as well, we are doing a propagation of the events. Means not all the events might be relevant for the freight unit. So there might be even stops of the freight order which are not relevant for the freight unit.
Mm.
And that's something where we would not need to propagate the event.
And propagate back means we would also kind of create such an entry in the first place in that exec to exec table we talked about before, and that again would start the processing in a freight unit, so to say, exactly the same pattern, right?
The events. So there must be some logic, in the in the tour, where we are checking all the requirement documents for execution document like freight order, and then we check, okay, that's some freight unit, and then we send this event. So we that execution data is created for that predecessor document.
Okay, so it's propagated back. I think that's specifically relevant then for multi-staging. Now, in our example, we arrived directly at the customer, but there could be scenarios with ocean legs in the middle, etc. And then that back propagation becomes even more relevant. And then also that final event obviously only happens at the final destination for the freight unit and not if it arrives at the port or so. I think we arrived at the first customer. Okay, so I think that same repeats now at the second customer, right? And then
there's no big difference probably for that process.
The only difference most likely if it arrives as a second customer and that is the last stop, most likely that the execution must always, also the status also must somewhere go to execute it, right?
For the freight order, It can be configured in a different way. For the freight unit, you could say the final event I expect is proof of load,
delivery.
Proof of delivery. And for the freight order, it could be, for instance, already the unloading. So freight order could already be finished, but the freight unit could still be in execution. That could be possible. So customers sometimes are expecting one object is finished, all the other objects are finished as well. But this depends on customizing. So you can configure it as you like.
Good. I think that's, already, we once went through that complete execution chain, right? We finished execution on both documents. What more can you expect? Anything else we should discuss today? Something we forgot mentioning? As we said, I mean, there will be another episode about the details of the EM integration and another one or two episodes about the details about the EWM. Integration, but there's no WM integration. There's only if we develop something, then it's for EWM.
Yes,
because, obviously, because it's our colleagues.
Yes, it's our colleagues, and there is still active development for the EWM. So means the requirements can still be can still be implemented. So we this is a interface which is still growing.
Maybe a typical question from a technical consultant in a customer project is, how can I enhance it? I mean, this is usually if you come from the ERP world, having the traditional status management, BS 2 and 3X transactions, it's very straightforward to add user user status.
So in terms of ESA, probably, Thomas, you know better than me. I think we have standard mechanisms in TM. So we have a body where you can put in logic to fill fields, for instance. We have it on both sides, on the EWM side, on the TM side, and how that is enhanced, probably, you know.
But it's not kind of there's no status management model below what we discussed
today. No customizing
for to define an own status. There is that's standard.
But I mean, for events, it's quite easy, probably.
For events, it is it is easy in some terms because you are quite quite flexible as far as you are using, for instance, EM. You can define any kind of events in EM, but currently what we generate is fixed events. So these are event types which are defined in the standard.
In our standard process flow, at least, of course, you can have additional event types and then we would also show them, etc. Depends a bit, like if you have your own Z event type for departure, yeah. that becomes a bit critical. I think I created a note for that recently, because then we actually, the relevant piece of it is then the activity type of that event type that you define, like transloading, departure, loading, that kind of thing is something that you define for the event type. What is it actually? And that is what we use then. Yeah, but there's not a type finding or something. And also, if you talk the status enhancement, so we wouldn't have a standard way currently to enhance the handling execution status, for example. And then,
so you would have to use normal POP kind of
You can enhance. You can enhance the domain, of course, as you always can do, but then you also would have to code against
the values yourself. Yeah.
And you have to understand them and return also and react to it, but there's no config on that. Yeah. Anything else? I think we talked about that status propagation. We talked about discrepancies. We talked about a bit about the technical model. So if it's execution, as we said, it's always the Tor exec node. It's also for the actual departure time, etc. Planned departure time is in the stop. The actual is then an event in the Tor event node with a reference to that stop and the event departure and that time there. But of course, it's still considered, for example, by scheduling or time propagation, at least if you have the latest service packs. Yeah. Anything else? No, I think that's it, right? Oh, 1 hour again. Good. Then thanks for listening. Thanks for explaining it to me. I think now I understood it. And yeah, then let's see when the next episode will come. Maybe we talk about EWM integration then already, or EM or something else. Goodbye.
Bye.